Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
And we want to welcome to the microphone Paul LaRue. He is the president and the co-founder of Diamond Hospitality Services, LLC. Hey, Paul.
Hey,
welcome.
Joel. Thanks a lot for having me on today. I appreciate it.
You got it here. We also have Lori Wolfslayer. She's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Diamond Hospitality. Lori, good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, Joel. Thanks for having us.
All righty. So I think we did have a chat in the middle of COVID, right? You guys were growing even in COVID, but let's back up and let's get some origin stories here. Paul, tell us how you came up and how you got involved in hospitality.
Well, let's see. I've been in the hotel industry now for 30 years.
Wow.
And I've worked in many different cities and states.
I mean, do you necessarily start as like a concierge or a bag handler? Or can you go into management somehow?
You know, that's an interesting question. I went to Niagara University and I graduated with a degree in business administration.
Okay.
And then my first job was a desk clerk.
Okay.
Yep. I started at the Hyatt Hotel and then I just went from there, you know.
What was like, do you remember something specifically in the Hyatt brand that they taught you? You know, supposedly hotel brands are famous for these philosophies of how they do things.
Yeah, I would have to say that was probably the most interesting company that I worked for. They were very detail oriented and very strict with the rules.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. Black socks, white shirts.
Down
no
to the
facial
socks,
hair,
huh?
The whole thing, yeah. Top to bottom, everything was really particular.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Most famous person you checked in?
Let's see. Hulk Hogan.
Tall dude.
Oh, yeah. Big guy. Yeah. I met a lot of celebrities there. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
I bet. So, okay. So, you started as a desk clerk at Hyatt, and then tell us what went from there?
Well, I can give you a little more background than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I worked with Hyatt Hotels for about 7 years.
Yeah.
Then I moved on to Rochester, New York, and I ran a Crown Plaza there. And then after that, I moved to Syracuse, worked with another great group, and I ran the Sheraton at the university there, Syracuse University.
So they owned their own hotel?
They ended up buying it, yes.
They did buy it, yeah.
Then I ended up in Rochester, New York again. Then I ended up back in Buffalo. Was running a large full-service hotel there. Then I ended up with another management company, and I got my opportunity to have a regional position.
Okay.
So of my 30-plus years, 15, I was a regional vice president of it before I took on this assignment here.
Cool.
And then I actually ended up moving to Erie, worked with Scott Enterprises for about 9 years. It was really educational because I got to do all parts of every type of business that they had. So it was a very good learning experience, rounded out my career. Then back in 2019, I met up with Tom Kennedy, who's a local real estate developer. And he hired me on as a VP of Ops, and I would say I was more or less like an asset manager for him.
Okay, interesting.
And it just so happened that he had hotels also. So, you know, I would be sitting reading the financials on the hotels, and I go, Tom, I think I can get these hotels to perform a little better. And he goes, oh, okay, well, let's see. You know, so we went, after a couple of months, he goes, yeah, why didn't you give it a shot, Paul? So this is before COVID. So I took over two of his properties, and they started to really, Tom was very excited, let's put it that way.
Okay, cool.
So there's some great numbers. And then COVID struck. But the positive thing was I was still able to maintain the numbers through COVID. Just a lot of relationship building, and you just had to find the pieces of business that still had to travel, and I was able to put them in the hotels. Then we ended up running Tom's four properties. And then after that point, Tom goes, you know, why don't we start our own company, Paul? And I go, sounds good to me. So
Wow. So
we took off. We had the four. Then the gentleman, Brian, who's the CEO of Cobblestone, was interested in just working on development of the brand. And he wanted to find a group that would be focused on the success of the properties after they open. So we had a conversation, and he goes, well, I'd like to give you guys a try. You're doing so well with the properties you have now. So then back in October, he gave us 10 more properties to run. That went extremely well. January, we got another 10 properties, went extremely well. Now, just recently, we've taken on another 10 properties, and we've signed the deal to run 60 of their hotels for them.
Oh, my goodness.
So by August, we'll have a portfolio of 60 hotels.
Fantastic. I want to get to the nitty-gritty of how that all works, of what's the difference between owning and managing, and I'm sure there's distinctions there. But let's get Lori's story. Lori, again, did you start out in hospitality, or did you make your way into it?
I have an interesting background. So I graduated from Edinburgh University. During my time at Edinburgh, I did an internship at Walt Disney World.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So that was my first step into the hospitality industry, and I always knew that this was my dream job. This is where I wanted to be. I took a roundabout path to get here, but I've always been in sales, including radio sales, radio, obviously, morning show.
Yeah.
And lived in Orlando for about 15 years as well.
Remind folks of where you were at when you did the mornings.
I was on WXTA.
Okay, on Country 98.
Country 98, yeah.
Which is now a Nash FM, right?
Correct, gotcha. Correct. Yes.
Cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah, so roundabout way, but I've
Who was the biggest star that you met as a morning person?
Oh, my goodness. I met so many people. I loved Luke Bryan.
There you go.
He was really awesome.
Yeah.
But I have a better story.
Okay, go.
My most famous person that I think most impacted my life that I got to meet was Maria Shriver.
Really?
And that was in the hospitality industry.
Interesting.
She was a guest at one of the hotels that I sold for, and she was just an amazing human being.
Wow, good.
Yeah, so that's fun. So
was she still with Arnold or not so much?
No, she was not.
I'm sorry.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I had to ask, you know.
It was post-Arnold, yeah.
Post-Arnold,
yeah. She was actually performing at Mercyhurst.
Oh,
on
I remember when she – didn't she come to interview Sister Joan?
Joan Chittister,
yeah.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
I remember that.
So I spent
some
time.
She was something else, huh?
Oh, she was amazing. In fact, she invited me to her room, and she wanted to do a blog or a podcast about the importance of tipping and giving gratuity to housekeepers.
All right.
And so she recorded me, and I was played nationally on Maria Shriver's show.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
That is
pretty cool. Yeah. So
tell us about the journey of coming to Diamond Hospitality.
Sure. So I was laid off during COVID. I mean, as you know, the hospitality industry took a hit during COVID.
Yeah.
And Paul checked out my LinkedIn and called me, and he said, I've got an opportunity for you. I called him right back.
That happened pretty quick, didn't it, Paul? I mean,
it went pretty quick. I started off just me and Tom, and then it went to 3 to 4, and I think Laura was probably my 5th employee.
Wow.
It was the timing, and I'm very, very happy in this role. So
let's identify roles here. You're the vice president of sales and marketing. What does that mean?
Well, that pretty much means that I am the person who drives the car or the boat or the train for everything related to sales for all 60 plus of our hotels.
Wow.
So I work with all the general managers, coaching them and making them better on their grassroots sales efforts in their areas that their hotels are located in. But I also work on creative marketing opportunities, press releases, and the big ticket sales.
Sure.
Know,
yeah.
With the national
the group
companies.
Sales
exactly.
And so on. And that's how you're on here, because you alerted us to your new acquisition. And like, hey, this is a company on the move. Let's chat about it.
It is.
You know, it's interesting. What occurs to me, and again, I only know I used to be the convention coordinator for my company in Nashville years ago.
Awesome.
But also doing business travel and leisure travel. That's kind of my realm of experience, right? And I've rented a few rooms, for banquets and things. So is that your primary role, is like the banquet stuff, or do you, because when you're booking a room, when I'm booking a room because I have to go to Columbus, let's say, it seems very transactional. I'm getting on AAA or I'm getting on TripAdvisor and just, it's a transaction online. How do you enhance that for the consumer, I guess?
Well, sure. So for me, sales, I've been in sales my whole life, yeah, in one way, shape, or form or the other. It's relationship building. It's gotcha. Simply that. It's building relationships. Whether it's for a sports team that's coming into our area to play, whether it's a bride or groom that's getting married, whether it is a company down the road here in Erie that has people coming in that are doing training, it's building relationships, building trust, becoming that go-to person. And that's how I've succeeded.
And you have, and that's a goal here, is to be the kind of the go-to property for those that need hotel services. And so, Aunt Jane, when you come for the reunion, you're going to want to stay at the Cobblestone because they'll treat you well, kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're going for here, is that kind of status within the community, as well as, like you say, the relationship with the soap. You know, I mean, because Erie's that kind of a small place where, people, you have relationships with,
right,
folks,
and it's building that brand awareness.
Exactly. Cobblestone is one of the fastest growing brands in the United States right now.
Wow.
So we're working to get that brand knowledge out, to let people know that Cobblestone is a phenomenal place to stay, whether you're here in Erie, Pennsylvania, or you're traveling to one of the hotels we manage in our portfolio and Missouri or North Dakota or Iowa. It's a consistent stay. So you know when you go there, you're going to have a clean, comfortable room. You're going to be welcomed. You're going to have great hospitality, a great experience. So that's what we are trying to build right now. And it's been successful for us. And we're grateful to Brian Wargnese, who is the CEO of Cobblestone, to give us this opportunity to build his brand from a management standpoint and making a difference.
Let's talk about the Cobblestone Hotels. Right now, the latest news is that Diamond Hospitality Services, LLC, has announced its acquisition of WHG Management Company, adding 60 additional Cobblestone Hotels to the management portfolio, and obviously significant growth for this Erie-based company. So, and again, this is a wide-ranging area. But Cobblestone in and of itself, I guess as a consumer, you would think that you would want to know that when I go to the Cobblestone website to book a room, there's no surprises, right? There's a definite way, standard operating that you're going to come expect, right, Paul?
Right. And what I would say about Cobblestone, compared to all the different brands I've worked with, they're definitely, it's an upscale, boutique-y feeling hotel.
Okay.
Most of them are anywhere from 37 rooms to 56 rooms, so it's more compact.
Gotcha.
Comfortable beds. Everybody tells me all the time. I know that's a silly thing to say, but yes, comfortable beds.
You definitely want the beds. You want some space.
Clean. Most of them have bars. A lot of the hotels have pools and amenities.
Yep. I mean, the complimentary breakfast.
Right. You know. Complimentary hot breakfast. And really, the tagline for Cobblestone is big city quality and small town values.
Wow. So talk about the four original ones that were here in Erie County. And there's still four, right? I mean, am I counting that correctly? Yeah, or is there three?
Well, there's three in Erie County, but that one of the original four we took on was also Orrville, Ohio, that Tom Kennedy is a primary investor in.
So there's the one here on the Bayfront Parkway, which I thought, I mean, you guys squeezed that into that hillside amazingly. Small miracle.
Well, people love to be on the water, so that's a big attraction.
Well, absolutely. And again, it's very convenient to the downtown, to an event, let's say at Liberty, or to the boaters, right? I mean,
yes.
if you have something that's going in the
fishermen,
in the water, the
fishermen,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know there's one in Cory, right?
Harbor Creek.
Oh, Harbor. I think that's the one that I'm like, Oh, there's a cobblestone out here.
Yeah, and that helps out the Penn State Barron over
yeah.
there. So it's
right at
directly
the entrance.
Across.
Mm-hmm, yeah. At Penn State Barron.
It's at the entrance of Penn State. Okay.
Right on Station Road.
Oh, that's awesome. And then there's the one in Corry.
And typically, most of the cobblestones are in smaller towns like Corry.
Interesting. Yeah. And you're saying that that it's really kind of fitting a niche for these communities that don't have, I mean, maybe they had hotels 100 years ago or something like that, you know, when they were on the stagecoach, but not anymore. I mean, there probably hasn't been hospitality in a lot of these places, right?
Correct. So in most of the markets, they're usually the only property probably within a 25-mile radius.
Interesting. Wow. Wow. And so how has that worked for you? And, you know, what's the kind of clientele that will go to a Corry? I would imagine some folks are in the hospital and they...
Interestingly enough, a lot of the business that I have acquired or booked in Corry has been corporate business. There's that incubator that's right behind the cobblestone. Lots and lots of businesses back there. And there's a lot of business being done in Corry.
Absolutely. So when you decide to place a hotel, what are you looking for, especially for this brand?
Well, typically, first you do a feasibility study.
Okay.
And that'll identify, you know, what's in that market and how many rooms you should build in the hotel. Once you receive that, then obviously you go to the banks and you take your loan out, and then you proceed with the construction.
And then you open.
Open the door.
You get online, and people start. You know what the narrative is, you guys, about Erie is that, well, we closed down the foundries and the manufacturing so that we could be a tourist town. Well, of course, there's no grand poopah that does this. It was, like you say, this is market driven. The hotels that have been built in this market, is that accurate?
I would say that's 100% accurate. Yes,
I mean
100%.
That people don't just build multi-million-dollar buildings.
No, because
for no reason
you couldn't get financing for it if that was the case. I mean, what lender is going to lend you millions of dollars to build a hotel that they don't have a feasibility study that says their investment is secure?
Yeah, it's so all definitely. About return on investment.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that as far as the types of folks that will be seeking out a hospitality at Cobblestone could be leisure, but it sounds like it oftentimes is business clients.
It depends on where the hotel is located, since we do manage so many throughout the U.S. I would say Bayfront is about a 50% mix of corporate and leisure.
Gotcha.
Corry is probably going to be more corporate. Penn State, Barron, I would say the hotel in Harbor Creek, we get a lot of college business there. It was put there specifically to support that
for the dads and moms coming to town for
And sports teams.
And
you know, when they bring a professor in that they're going to interview, you know, people like that will stay there. They'll give me a call and say, "Hey, Lori, I've got so and so coming in. You know, we want to stay at your hotel." And then, of course, we take it over and make sure they have a great VIP experience. So, you know, it's one thing to have those referrals coming in the door, but it's another thing to keep them coming back.
And that's what kind of is kind of cool that for your position is, instead of going online or being, you know, whatever, you're on the phone.
I'm on the phone, and I'm also coaching our teams at the hotels to make sure that they are very sales focused and sales oriented. When I say that, you know, you have to be friendly. You have to smile. The small things in this business matter. You know, that bottle of water in that room, the smile when they walk in, the consistency of the hotel being clean.
Having the refrigerator plugged in.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Well, I can't tell you. I think it's happened to me more than once where it's like, this isn't cold. And then you have to either replace the refrigerator or have it just kind of plugged in.
Well, the welcoming.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, it's important to have a welcome sign there. If you have a big group coming in or a company that you know,
that's true.
Make sure that they feel that they're welcomed. I mean, those things, how do you feel if you walk into a hotel and there's a welcome sign that says, "Welcome, talk Erie Radio," you know,
right,
Joel
sure.
Natale. I mean, you're going to feel pretty important, right? You're probably going to stay there again.
It was interesting, you know, because we had to go to a hotel during COVID. And all of the plexi and all that stuff.
Is oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, it reminded you of like the movie Big when they're trying to check in to the, you know, I mean, it just was necessary, but it was kind of an interesting concept of, I'm going to give you the key around the plexi
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and this yeah. pile has clean pens, and these are dirty.
That's right. And, you know, and, yeah, somebody writes, our church has used cobblestone for special speakers and guests to the church. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Mean, well, thank yeah. you for your business. Yeah,
exactly.
We appreciate it. Yeah, give
hey,
us
we're,
a call.
we're coming down to our bottom of the hour news. I want to talk about, if you can, maybe we can pull out a little bit of like what growth looks like. How do you manage out of Erie? Are there idiosyncrasies about being based in Erie that, you know, that you have to deal with? And where this hospitality business is going? Because it's like, it hit this trough during COVID, and now it just seems like it's soaring. Like Lori says, there's a ton of demand out there. Let's broaden our focus, folks, because there's so much to learn with this thing, and so with hospitality. And again, a lot of people don't understand it, you know. So the hospitality, hotels, restaurants got creamed during the pandemic. And then when did you really start seeing that curve turn around? Was it in 2020 or more in 2021 last year? What would you say?
I would say probably summer of 2021, but even more so recently. I think 2021, people were still a little bit afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of media out there saying that COVID was, you know, all these variants were coming and people were a little afraid to get out and move. But I'd say 2022, the floodgates opened. Don't you agree, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. And from all the properties we have across the 15 different states, what I've identified or noticed, most of the properties are revenues increasing by at least 25% or more.
Year over year? Is that what you would say?
Year over year, yes.
Okay, 25% increase.
Oh, yeah.
That's
plus.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. How expensive was it to do the, quote, COVID mitigation things? I can't tell you how many hotels had little stickers across their doors and, you know, hand sanitizer or handy wipes inside the rooms. I mean, all that adds up, doesn't it, Paul?
I think the initial cost when we first had to work on it was around $2,000 per hotel.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And now it's probably still probably have some demand for that. But I would think that the huge demand would be for workers. So, again, Lori, you lived. This is a lived experience. You got laid off in the middle of this.
I did.
I would imagine that many folks, frontline workers, up and down any kind of organization, were laid off too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, just across the entire United States yeah. of America. I mean, the story's everywhere. There were big hotels that closed in big cities across the country that just never opened back up again.
Like they permanently closed.
Permanently closed.
I mean, most of our properties right now are struggling with finding the correct amount of staff. What we always find is, we use Indeed. We put it on Facebook. We're always
word
interviewing.
Of mouth.
We are always interviewing.
Where did those people go if they got out of hospitality? I mean, are they taking other jobs? Is it a matter of pay? Where does that all they all had jobs, and now there's this huge demand. I mean, you probably want almost everybody back, right? As far as the census goes.
I think it's a matter of pay.
You know,
for a hotel to be profitable, it has to keep at a certain price point to be able to pay the employees. A lot of other businesses have seemed to raise substantially higher. So, unfortunately, we're losing out on some of those people.
Do you find that between chains and who the corporate owners are, that there's some, you know, back and forth? I mean, if you were in a big city like Pittsburgh, let's say, and what is there, like 10,000 rooms in Pittsburgh or something like that?
Yeah, at least.
At least. Yep. So, I mean, and you're a housekeeper at the Mom Pop Boutique, and the Westin has room for you. Could you be in a situation there where you're getting outbid? I'm not saying you, but just as an analyst
that's
for this
thing.
That's
definitely happening. I would say the important thing is you have to have good employee relations. You have
100%.
You have to have a workplace where people enjoy going to, that it doesn't make a difference if they're making $2 more an hour.
I would imagine you work on corporate culture all the time, right?
Always, yes. Yeah. It's very, very important. But you're right. I mean, it's been a struggle, not just in the hospitality industry, as you know, I mean, just across the board. I mean, you see signs for Target paying $15, $16 an hour, and you have somebody, you know, moving from point A to point B, and people kind of got used to getting that extra money from the government as well. And
another thing that helps us out is that we offer a management training program. So it gives people an opportunity to have a future and to build a career.
It's almost like an apprenticeship, but you don't have to go to college for this, is what you're saying?
Correct. Yep.
Wow. Well, we do apprentice shows all the time. You can become an apprentice in management training. Where would you be able to go if you were again frontline, whether it's front desk? I mean, what are some of those entry level positions at your hotels these days?
Well, because our hotels are smaller, there's only one salaried manager on the property.
Okay.
Which is a general manager. On the management and training program, it usually takes about a year for someone to gain the correct skill set to be able to run the property. I'm proud to say we've already promoted three people that were front desk representatives to general manager positions.
We actually have promoted somebody who started at front desk when Diamond Hospitality first came on board and became a general manager and is now one of our regional managers.
Nice.
Or regional directors of operations, I would say. And she's doing a phenomenal job. And she went through that program, and she's actually instrumental with her experience that she's had in helping us develop this program further. Paul, when I first started working for him years ago, prior to this role, I remember he had this great training. So he said, Lori, I want you to know what it's like to work in this industry. And being in sales, what it makes to make that clock tick, right? Mm. So it's team effort.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have a group that comes in that wants to have a 4 p.m. checkout, you know, when checkout time is normally 11 a.m. and we've got to get the rooms cleaned and ready. So I spent time in housekeeping. I spent time at the front desk. I spent time in the conference center. And I really have a full understanding and appreciation for everything that everybody does in the hotel and all of their roles and what it takes to make it happen. And that's important. I think this MIT program also helps with that, but it also helps us find passionate people that love the hospitality industry and want to have a career here. And so I think that's what we have going
for us. And the great thing is you can train them from the beginning the right way.
Yeah.
So you don't have to correct any mistakes that they might have already picked up.
Absolutely. It's like this is the cobblestone way. This is the Diamond Hospitality way. It makes a lot of sense. Can we talk a little bit about the other side of the business? Not so much just lodging, but the event side, the rooms. You know, I've had to rent rooms for celebrations, for rehearsal dinners. I mean, and again, it's, you know, the key here is you don't want any surprises from what you discussed 2 months prior to what you get when you go to the room.
100% agree. It's all about expectations. It's about proper communication from day one, being organized. Now, our hotel's cobblestones, in general, we have smaller meeting rooms that maybe hold 50 to 75 people.
Like a little lunch or a little seminar?
We do business meetings. We do showers. We do celebrations and reunions. But we actually have a couple hotels in our portfolio throughout the country that have significant conference space.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like thousands of square feet of conference space.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to be able to work with that as well. And people are just starting now to get back to booking those bigger events.
I was going to say, what's the state of that business these days? Because a lot of people are, you know, I'm still seeing virtual conferences, and then I'm seeing in-person conferences come across my email desk, my email feed.
I think they're coming back, don't you?
It's coming back. I would say it'll be back in full swing by 2023.
What about the private stuff, though? The baby showers? That never went away? Or?
Well, it did, because we had a time where we could only have 5 people meeting at one time or 10 people meeting at one time.
I blocked those out of my brain, yeah.
So there was a time, literally, where I would have people call and I would book an event for somebody and I'd say, okay, so as of today, we can only have 10 people. Now, I'm not sure that that's going to change or not. And I mean, it was a real thing. It was constant communication with the guest or the client, mm-hmm. making sure that we were abiding by the local, county, township, city rules, you know, that we were in compliance with all of this COVID stuff. So it's nice to not have to deal with that anymore.
And for the smaller ones, not for the big conferences, do you have kitchen facilities or how does that work? Or do you have preferred caterers that will come in and all that?
We have some caterers that we do use, but we're really unique. And the reason that people really like to have events with us is because they can choose to bring their own food and own catering.
Okay.
Now, we can suggest caterers that we work well with, but in most places you can't bring your own food in. Now, the exception to that is we have bars and we have liquor license. So we do not allow them to bring any of their own alcohol beverages in.
I see.
They have to use our bars and our facilities.
Because you wouldn't, you got the liquor license.
Exactly.
You must be able to use it. So let's talk about running a large corporation that has multiple locations in how many states now, guys? It's like 15 states. And you're doing it from Erie, Pennsylvania. Talk about the idiosyncrasies and the challenges and the fun parts of being based in Erie.
I think it's great here in Erie. We're having no difficulty with operating any of the properties throughout the United States.
Do you fly out of Erie? Do you fly out of Cleveland? What do you normally do?
I've flown out of Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Erie, and Cleveland.
Okay,
so
no matter
however it all works out best for them.
Primarily, I've flown out of Erie. It depends on where we're going. You know, a lot of it is a one-way trip, and then we fly out of a different airport back. So it depends again where we can find a flight.
What do they call those open jaws or something? Like that? The old word for it.
It's worked out well. We usually fly somewhere, rent a car, and we'll visit, do 7, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, you go to Chicago and then just start driving. Mm-hmm. Right?
I mean, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays with the Zoom meetings and everything else, it's so convenient to get a hold of the owners or the general managers. So
it is. We usually do a site visit originally when we'll take a property on and we'll go and visit them. Paul and our director of hotel operations, Dave Zeplowitz, will do that. And then I'll follow with the sales and marketing site visits. We just also do quarterly sales success meetings that are Google Meets. And it's worked really well, and people have been participating, and it's fun. And we record those meetings so they can go back and watch them at a later time.
Where do you think this is going? Like, do you guys have goals of being 120 a year from now or larger?
To gain the 60 so quickly was quite the feat.
Uh-huh.
I would anticipate, or our goal is to put on about 20 more hotels a year.
Yeah, and do you have the staffing and the kind of the horsepower to do all that, you think?
Yeah, I have right now we're perfectly staffed for the amount of properties that we have, and we fold in new players as we continue to grow.
That's right. As you pick up, there's talent that you're picking up along with the properties, obviously.
Correct. And being in the industry so long, I have a lot of contacts, so it's not hard for me to find good people.
Mm-hmm. Everybody on our team has worked with Paul at one point in time.
I bet. Do you feel that Erie is still a growing hospitality market? Or are we peaked out these days?
From looking at the Star report that indicates the occupancies and whatnot in the area, I would say it's fairly complete at this point.
The market
bears around 70% occupancy.
That's what you're always shooting for. Is about 70
nationwide. For nationwide, I think it's around 67% across the whole.
So
United
that would
States,
still but, be outperforming the national average.
Yeah, correct.
To be at 70.
Yeah,
and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, we're right in that ballpark there. Now it'll be completely coming back after COVID.
I mean, if we were talking about Cape May, New Jersey, or Ocean City, Maryland, we know that we want to be at 110% during 2 months, and then we're at 20% other times.
I mean, if your hotel has over 100 sellout nights a year, then you know you can either add onto your property or there's probably room to build another hotel. But that's
100 nights sold out.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever experienced that?
Have I? Oh, yeah. I've seen that happen in markets before and added onto properties. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. How about with your cobblestones here now?
Right now, with some of the groups that we're working with, they're all excited because they're seeing phenomenal numbers because we do a lot of different strategies to build their business. Everyone's gung-ho to, let's add on. And I said, let's get through the summer. We'll see how busy you are, and then we can make a good educated decision at that point.
It sounds like that the jury's we're still not totally out of the contagion that COVID was to the hospitality industry. Would I be accurate with that? I mean, there's still some, contagion there.
Yes. I think that we're much better off now than we were even a month or 2 months ago. I think the pent-up demand for people wanting to get out and travel is there.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why we had talked off air about rates
are
supply
going
and demand.
Up, yeah.
That's what it's all about, supply and demand.
It almost feels like we have to get well beyond this, see where our level is going to be, where our delta, if you will, is mm-hmm. going to end up, and see what the price, what the number of rooms is going to look like. And I'm just talking about for Erie because this is an Erie show.
Yep.
And just see where this settles in. Now, we just saw Holiday Inn go online, and you know that'll have some impact. And that's a different owner than has ever been here before, my understanding. So it's super interesting to, again, I get the phone calls. You know, are we shutting down every factory so that we can have hotels? No. This is all about where we're at as a community. And again, when you have did the cheerleaders fill up your hotel?
Absolutely. We've had them the past 2 weekends. But, I mean, if you think about it, we've got wrestling tournaments. We've got the universities. We've had 2 Division I women's hockey tournaments here over the past 7 years.
And commencement is less than a month away.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to have Gannon students marching at the Erie Insurance Arena. And your hotel is going to be full of
there
parents.
There is definitely room generation in Erie. There's no doubt about it. And then you fill that in with leisure travel that come to visit Presque Isle. I mean, our hotel sold out last weekend. The demand is there.
I guess that's the core of my question is, how much of what we do as a hotel market is really driven by true tourism, much like an Ocean City or Cape May? I mean, is it a smidgen? Is it 5%, 10%? Is it more than that?
I'd say it's a little bit more than that.
Okay.
I mean, it's certain times of the year, of course. I mean, what is tourism? Is it people coming in to fish the lake and fish the bay?
I mean, Labor Day is solid business.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, turn it off. It just keeps
going. And are you seeing now with these new acquisitions, there's other markets that kind of look like Erie that'll be kind of doing some strategies that way of how you run these shops here at Erie?
I find Erie to be very unique compared to the other properties we have, because more of our property is these locations are more of in a city.
Okay.
The other ones are in tiny towns.
Very rural in a lot of cases.
So, yeah, that is super interesting. Well, super interesting. So, yeah, again, so, I mean, unless it was like by a lake, you know, where there's going to be a lot of leisure activity, you know, like a Honesdale, Pennsylvania, where, you know, it's camping everywhere. And
well, you know what? We manage a hotel in Punxsutawney.
There you go.
So I can tell you, there's a weekend. There's a weekend during the year that hotel has a rooming list for like $449 a night.
Oh, my
Kid
goodness.
You not.
I totally believe it. Well, it's been such a joy to get to know you guys and congratulate you on your expansion here. And I feel like there's a lot of good cheer and positivity going forward in where this industry's going, and certainly where Diamond Holdings are going.
Oh, yeah. Diamond Hospitality is growing in leaps and bounds, and we have a positive company culture, and we're excited. We're excited to see what the future brings.
Yeah, things couldn't be going better. And I guess the thing that makes me happiest is when I get a nice profit and loss statement to the owner, and they're thrilled. That's always my goal.
Yep. That's it. Keep it running. Keep the fly chain moving. Paul LaRue, the president of Diamond Hospitality Services, LLC. Lori Woolslayer, she is the vice president of sales and marketing. Thank you, folks, so, so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you, Joel.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.